Welcome to A Healthier You Little by Little. This podcast gives you insights and features various aspects of health, from sleep and stress to immunity, exercise, home workouts, energy, and performance. Here is your host of A Healthier You Little by Little, Cindy Little.
All right. Well, everybody, welcome back to A Healthier You Little by Little. Today, I have a special guest. Her name is Clarissa Christensen, all the way from Sweden. Welcome, Clarissa.
Well, hi, Cindy and everybody listening. I am delighted to be here.
Yeehaw. Well, you know what? It's such a great topic. So today's topic is how to have a positive menopause. Now, how many of you listening today would like to have a positive menopause? Now, men, you may be wanting to listen to this so you can help your wife through menopause. You need to be aware of what might happen during menopause. So I don't want to exclude the male audience out there, right, Clarissa?
Right. I think that menopause is about people. It's not just about women. It's about all of us, our partners, our children, everybody that, you know, connects with you.
That's right. Yeah. All right. And we didn't even mention that last time we spoke, but that is, you know, it is so key. So anyway, who is Clarissa? Why is she here today? She is a mindfulness and menopause coach and mentor. She has a passion for helping women to thrive through menopause by helping them to develop the capacity to self-regulate and to be able to step back from the stressors going on within and decide to respond in a supportive way to mentally and physically support you through this. And I think that I can't wait to talk to her because she's not only a mentor and a coach, but she's also an author of a menopause book. And she's also a podcaster of a menopause podcast show. So welcome, Clarissa.
That's great. Thank you so much for that intro, Cindy.
Well, you know what? Let's start with your story because everybody has a story and most people get passionate about what they do because of their story. So would you mind sharing your story?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm postmenopausal. I'm about to turn 61 in a few weeks' time. But 17 years ago was when my perimenopause started. I was working in a senior corporate career. I had a very busy life, nothing unusual in my life that other women haven't heard before, obviously, but I had coped with a lot with my mother's dementia and her death and the breakdown of my marriage. And I was at that stage living in Sydney, Australia with an eight-year-old and a pretty crazy dog. And I noticed changes in my body. I noticed that I started to have heavier periods. I found it hard to sleep. I put on a lot of weight. And let me tell you to the listeners out there, I was a size 6, you know, I was tiny. I'd been tiny and suddenly there I was in size 10, you know, and it happened very fast. And my blood pressure really shot up. And it was that took me at first to the doctors. I was given blood pressure medication, the word perimenopause. So that's the stage when all our hormones are fluctuating and we're feeling all these changes, was never mentioned. And I developed a high level of anxiety. And eventually it culminated in an anxiety attack at work that was actually very traumatic. And I needed to do a lot to readjust my life, work on my nutrition, work on my exercise, and most of all, find a way to manage my mind, you know, to manage my anxiety and my stress in a different way. And it made a huge difference to me to actually go to mindfulness training courses and develop a lifelong habit then now of meditation and mindfulness practice. But I started to teach mindfulness. I became a certified mindfulness practitioner. And what I noticed was that all the women who came to me, and it's nearly always women, you know, had very similar symptoms to me. They were anxious. They felt mildly depressed. They couldn't sleep. And life just felt hard for them. And I started to put, you know, two and two together along with all the statistics that there were all these, you know, late 40s, 50s women. And suddenly the word was like, oh, it's about menopause. And I think a few years back, we were starting to talk about menopause. And that's when I also trained to become a certified menopause specialist health coach. So I do coaching, which is very centered around women's health and wellness. And then I wrote the book. And that in itself was a journey into understanding a lot more about menopause and how I could help people.
Wow. Well, you know, I love having you on today, Carissa, because like, I mean, some of us women know some of the stuff about menopause, but like I'm 51, I haven't went through it. And I don't even think I'm in perimenopause yet because I'm getting regular periods. I'm still the same weight I was like 20 years ago. But I mean, there are some little things that crop up, like not being able to sleep at night, the odd time I'll get a hot flash. And it's like, okay, is this a first sign? Is this like, is it starting to happen? Like, how did it happen for you? Did you get like everything all at once, or was it a trickle in of things?
It's a trickle in of things. I think the first thing to recognize is that there is this stage before menopause. And for the listeners who don't know, menopause clinically is defined as the day 12 months since you've had your last period. So if you don't have a period after that, then you are menopause, and then you're almost immediately in postmenopause. But it starts much earlier in something that is called perimenopause. So that's when you feel most of your hormone decline. And that obviously happens gradually. It can start from age 35. That's when your hormones begin to decline. And we often hear, and I often hear from women say, oh, no, you know, I've just had a baby, or I'm not even 50 yet. Well, the answer is it's not age dependent. Most women are feeling the beginning of the perimenopause through their 40s. And it starts with maybe you notice a change in your periods. Maybe you notice you're a little bit more moody and tired. You're finding it harder to sleep. You might be a bit more sensitive to stress. And it really, everybody's journey is different. There are between 35 and 40 different symptoms. Some of them are certainly more noticeable, more painful and difficult than others. And we can't predict what your journey is going to look like. And even though your mother might have had one type of, you know, journey, it won't necessarily be the same for you.
Now, you also alluded yesterday when we were speaking about it also can depend on when you start your menses and when, like, I was a late bloomer. And, you know, and now I know that the girls are getting their periods when they're 10 or something like that.
Yes. And I think there is certainly things connected to when you start your periods. There are genetic factors, race and ethnicity factors will determine the length and the severity in certain types of symptoms. Your past medical history will play a role in it. Mm-hmm. And of course, your exposure to certain things like toxins in your environment will mess with your hormonal balance and will naturally impact what kind of an experience you have and how long it is. So there are a lot of factors, some of which you cannot control and right. Some of which you can.
Let's talk about the ones we can, because that's the fun stuff, right? I mean, well, I don't know if it's fun, but it's the stuff that we can control. And I like to be in control. Don't you, Clarissa?
Oh, yes. And I wish that I had more options on the table. And sadly, that's still the case that women go to their doctors. And 70% of women basically get pushed back out the door with little or no support. And you've got to recognize that many clinicians have no training in the menopause at all. Zip.
Wow.
So they arrive teaching you things. And it's not their fault. And it's only now that we're looking at that as an important part of clinicians' training and of your healthcare provider's updated training, because it's the whole world is changing there. Yeah. But let's go back to what you said about things we can control. Well, we have control over our lifestyle, what we eat, how we exercise, the amount of time we give to managing our stress and sleeping and resting and practicing self-care are all things that we ourselves can control without other people necessarily doing anything clinical for us. We can work with professionals, but we can take a lot of control there, and it will have a huge impact on the severity of your symptoms without a doubt. And then there are things that maybe if you're really struggling, you need to go to a doctor and get support with hormone replacement therapy. And you've not failed. It's an option for every woman to take. And provided that the person you go to is knowledgeable, that can help lots of women. It helps women tremendously.
Nice. All right. Now in your diet, like you alluded to, you changed your diet. Like what did you have to change about your diet? What were you doing so bad before, do you think, or was it so bad?
Well, mine wasn't that bad. I think that, you know, I mean, I never weighed more than 67 kilos. So really I wasn't that big, but I mean, relative to the tiny person I'd been, I'd put on a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. But I think the things we want to be looking at is prioritizing a plant-based diet. We want to be getting lots of fiber in your diet. And I know you're very passionate about that too, Cindy.
Actually, that's my next episode. Stay tuned, people.
Yeah, exactly. And for the simple reason that when our hormones are fluctuating, there can be, you know, differences between our progesterone and estrogen. They're two of our main hormones. And often it's the gap between those two, that what's called estrogen dominance. So if you hear women talk about estrogen or doctors talk about estrogen dominance, it means that relative to progesterone, you have too much estrogen. You want that estrogen out of your body. You want that to be properly processed.
I just want to, just for the ears of the Canadian and US markets, when she says estrogen, she's meaning estrogen.
I mean estrogen, yeah. I mean estrogen,
yeah. I love the way you say it.
Yeah. But you really want that estrogen excess out of your body. And fiber, of course, does that. It binds that and you poop it out, which is what you need to do. So yes, I'm a big fan of the Bristol poop chart. You know, checking your poop, making sure that you are getting good bowel movements, important. And that's important for your pelvic floor, which is a different discussion from here, but it is. So fiber is very, very important for the system. Okay. But you also want to be getting into your body plenty of fruit and vegetables, multicolored. They contain, along with products like soy and linseed, they contain phytoestrogen and isoflavones. You want those in because they're good estrogen that your body wants to take in. So those are the things we should be prioritizing because our gut is very important. And our gut is where we not only process our hormones, we also process a very important hormone there called serotonin, which is our happy hormone. It needs estrogen to work. And you can imagine when you're dropping your estrogen levels and you've got not a very healthy gut, you're actually contributing to those low moods that so many women we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Your gut health determines your mental health, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. There's no doubt that your gut microbiome talks directly to your brain. There's a pathway between the two. So a healthy gut means a healthy brain, which has big impact at a time when you can be feeling low, moody, anxious, you know, that is so critical.
Yeah. And it goes back to almost the carb addict cycle, where you're feeling down, so you have some carbs. And they're not always going to be the good carbs of vegetables and fruits. They're going to be the, you know, the comfort foods like pasta, breads, and sugars and chocolate. And of course, when you get into that, then you need to have more of it, because when you come out of your happy mood and go into your other mood, then you want more of it. And then you start getting down on yourself. And then all the bad foods lead to other problems, right? Like your sleep and your hormones and your weight gain and all of that. So I could see why diet was such an instrumental change for you.
Yeah, huge. I mean, I think to add to that, you don't want to put on excess weight. Once we start to lose estrogen, we are at much greater risk to diabetes, high blood pressure, and cardiovascular disease, which is the number one killer of women over 50. Mm-hmm. So our weight and our blood pressure, all of that is, you know, sugar's not a friend. And also sugar is inflammatory in the body. We get inflammation, and estrogen is one of the big regulators that has anti-inflammatory properties. But if you're losing that, it's dropping in the body. Again, you don't want to be doing things that are driving up inflammation. You want to be managing that. And low blood sugar levels help. As you said, they also help with sleep.
Right. Okay. And it's all intertwined, right, Clarissa?
Yep. Yep. Everything is intertwined. Everything you do is intertwined. It's not like your sex hormones are doing, you know, something declining and changing on their own. If we don't look after ourselves in terms of our stress and managing our diet, moving our body, we're just not going to be well at this time.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about your mindfulness. How has that helped you? And what do you do to help your mindfulness state?
Yeah. So for me, I think mindfulness has a number of different benefits for me and for the women that I work with. Firstly, that it does make you sort of stop and take a bit of a breather and helps you to maybe not see your symptoms as all overwhelming, because they can feel overwhelming. Mm-hmm. They can feel like they're running your life.
And that's when you get into anxiety, right? Or a panic attack.
Exactly. And we already know that mindfulness is very, very good for helping people who have insomnia, for people who have levels of anxiety, for managing our stress. It brings a sense of calm and connect and rest and digest to the system. Mm-hmm. But what it also does, I think, is it teaches us to become quite strong and to speak up and to have boundaries about our life. And we need boundaries. And I say as a joke, no is a complete sentence, but it is a complete sentence that a lot of us as females need to learn. You know, we run around saying yes, and we don't have that bandwidth when our body's going through such a big change. We need to give it time and space. And I think that mindfulness helps you to do that too. And of course, there is quite a lot of clinical evidence from places like the Mayo Clinic in the States, that women who practice mindfulness have a greater sense of overall well-being. Their hot flashes have been reported as much less, and they can feel less brain foggy, because we often have a sense of memory loss, again, due to hormone changes, and we can feel that we can't remember things. And that can have a knock-on effect to our confidence and belief in ourselves. So mindfulness helps us to focus. It helps us to actually rebuild and strengthen areas of the brain that are linked to learning and memory.
Wow. Yeah. So that is so, such good advice. Like, and you know, you're in the sandwich generation. You said you were taking care of your mom who had dementia. You have an 8-year-old son, and you've got work, you've got, you know, you were just out of a relationship, and oh my gosh, I can't even imagine like all of that on your plate. And no wonder why you would just, you know, fall into almost a state of disrepair. But then what was the tipping point? What made you like snap out of it?
It really was that panic attack, because, you know, it happened in a lift lobby at work. It happened in front of a very senior manager that I reported to. And I think he thought I was a lunatic. I still can't remember what I actually said to him.
Did you still keep your job? But, you know,
I cared at the time, and I just went downstairs and I thought, I've lost this, you know. And I'd been very senior in some of the world's biggest corporations, and to think that you just couldn't put a sentence together, and you'd probably been like some lunatic. He probably thought I was nuts. And I went downstairs and I just cried, and I phoned a friend, and that was a tipping point, and I knew that I had to change something. And you're not always in a position to chuck your job in, which is what I wanted to do. I wanted to throw that job in the bin and walk away, but I couldn't, because, you know, it was a well-paid job. I had a child who was at that stage, he would have been into the last few years of school. High school's important. We can't uproot everything and throw everything into chaos. So I had to find another way.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, and you know, sometimes it could be little by little, right? It could be that first step of reaching out, maybe talking to someone who's went through it, or whether it's the panic attack or the menopause, or just somebody to be able to talk to about the stress that you're going through. Cause that could be like a release and a relief as well at the same time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the important thing is to have some support mechanism, something to lean on. What, as you said, it doesn't matter what it is. I think today there are a lot more Facebook groups. There are women like me who coach women in the menopause. And even, you know, you might be lucky and you might get a fantastic sympathetic doctor who says, you know what, you're in perimenopause, I'm going to give you hormone replacement therapy. And that can help lots of women, as I've said, that you can find somebody that supports you. And I think we're hopefully beginning to lose the stigma about talking about this whole area of life. Gradually, by being on podcasts like this, having people on my podcast, talking about it in social media, we can realize, I think, two things. You're not alone and you're not going mad.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So give me an example on your podcast, what kind of guests you have and what are the individual topics? Because I can't imagine talking about menopause for 89 episodes like you have.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised. I mean, obviously I've had a number of doctors, obstetricians, doctors talking about, and we've talked about, you know, coping in perimenopause, how to actually come to your doctor, for example, and advocate to get the help you need. We've talked about hormone replacement therapy, obviously, but we talk on the topics on the symptoms that affect women as well, you know, skin problems, mental health problems. We talk about sleep. We've talked about, and I've talked to people who talk about exercise and yoga and diets. And we talk about the other things like, how do we manage new relationships? How do I date when I'm in menopause? How do I manage a divorce effectively? I mean, menopause isn't all about our symptoms. It's also about the life that sits around it as busy women. And how do we manage some of our very strong emotions? We suffer from things like grief and shame and guilt. So I've had quite a number of psychotherapists and clinical psychologists on as well, other mindfulness teachers. You know, there's a whole range of different ways that we can get help, both professional and by taking control ourselves.
Nice. Well, I'm so grateful to have met you, Clarissa, through the Matchmaker on podcasting. And I would like to have our audience know what the title of your book is, because you wrote a book on menopause as well, right?
I did. I wrote the book in 2018. It's called The Mindful Menopause. Mm. And it's available on Amazon. And it is really a way in which a mindfulness approach and program could help women to have a better, more positive menopause.
Awesome. And what's the title of your podcast again?
Yep. My podcast is called Thriving Through Menopause, because I think you can.
Excellent. Well, I am so grateful that you came and shared some tips today, and you shared how people can get a hold of you through your podcast and through your book, but also you have a LinkedIn profile. Right?
I do. And that's a really good place to connect with me if you want to reach out, find out more about my programs. Then I have a LinkedIn profile. It's my name, Clarissa Christensen, and that's spelled KristjanSson, Christensen. There's only one of us.
Yeah, like when I said your name, Christensen, it sounds so simple to say, but it's not spelled that way at all.
Uh-uh,
no. Grandson.
If you have an Icelandic husband, you get to live with that name.
Right on. Okay, well, is there any parting last thoughts, Clarissa, that you'd like to pass on?
Probably what I would say is you can have a really positive menopause. You can see this time not as just symptoms, which we've talked a lot about here, but as an opportunity to look at your life and say, how would I like to be going forward? We've got another 30 to 50 years to live, and I think they should be fantastic.
I totally agree with you, Clarissa, because like I said the other day, I still want to be riding my Harley Davidson into my 90s. Why not, right?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so now if you guys are listening and you don't know who I am, I'm Cindy Little. I'm the CEO of Health to Wealth. And if you, I do put our podcasts, the advertisement in my Facebook page, Health to Wealth with a number 2. And if you can comment, if you listen to it, I would love, and Clarissa would love to hear your comments and feedback. And, you know, if you feel compelled to listen to her podcast over at the Thriving Through Menopause, give her a 5-star rating, because it's so important that we have help and support, you know, going forward into these golden years, right?
Right. The second spring, I like to call it.
The second spring. Okay, nice. Or the reawakening maybe of our body, or reawakening maybe even too. Who knows what you want to call it? Just rate us as a 5-star, okay? All right. Well, thank you again, Clarissa, for coming on The Healthier You, Little by Little.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Cindy, for allowing me some time to share more about the menopause with your audience.
Thanks for listening to A Healthier You, Little by Little. Do you have a question about something you heard today? An idea for a topic, perhaps? Or would you like to reach out to Cindy? Send her an email, coachcindylittle@gmail.com, or visit her website at health2wealth.ca. That's health2wealth.ca. Or you can find Cindy on LinkedIn or Facebook as Cindy Little. Once again, thanks for listening.